نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد.
Those people who show love towards anything associated with ilm are granted lot of barakah in this world and also in the hereafter. Anything associated with ilm, ulama, the students in dini madaris, students studying dini knowledge, students studying ahadith, tafsir, fiqh, becoming huffaz, students becoming ulama, students becoming muftis, students becoming qurra. Love towards the centers of ilm, madaris. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant such people immense barakah in this world and also in the hereafter. Part of that barakah is that sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a great alim in his progeny. Either his child will become an alim, children will become ulama, or grandchildren or great grandchildren. So always be affectionate to everything associated with ilm. Show love and reverence to things associated with ilm. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala was once performing wuzu at the river bank. And another person came to perform wudu. Now, assuming that the flow of the water was from right to the left, this person sat on the right hand side of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was already performing wudu. This person was just about to dip his hands into the water when he suddenly realized, the thought process started, that if I use this water, if I start performing wudu here, then my used water will pass by this great Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. It seems a bit disrespectful that my used water passes by the Imam, and it's possible that the Imam may use that water. So why don't I get up from here and sit on the other side so that his used water can pass by me and I may be blessed by using that water. This little amal, insignificant amal, very easy amal. So in practice it was a very insignificant amal. But if you look deep, if you look deep into it, this amal was great because it was the amal of the heart. Azmat for ilm. Azmat for ilm. Reverence for ilm. Respect for ilm. This person passed away. Somebody saw him in the dream. How did Allah deal with you? He said, only on account of that one deed, he forgave my sins, granted me entry into Jannah, and everything else was a bonus. Subhanallah. as a result of only one amal, showing respect to an alim, a person of ilm. Because ilm is directly associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is ilm of Allah, ilm of Quran, ilm of Hadith, it is wahy. It was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So show love towards everything associated to ilm. When we were in the madrasa as students, and all students, they are taught to respect everything associated to ilm. So the students themselves are associated to ilm, but they are taught. And what is the meaning of everything associated to ilm? The bench that you use for placing your books, placing your exercise book, placing your pen, you should respect that bench also. Don't throw it here and there. Don't cross over the bench. No, go from the side. The books we learn from, it is not necessary to perform wudu to hold those books. Rules of Arabic grammar, it's not necessary. But because it is associated to that ilm, we are learning Arabic to understand Quran, we are learning Arabic to understand Ahadith. So, somehow it is connected to that ilm. So we are taught not to touch the books without wudu. Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great scholar, Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of his works is well known amongst the academics, Al-Mabsut of Imam Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala. It is a voluminous work, 15-20 volumes. How and where was this work authored? He was jailed by the governor of his time. And where was he jailed? He was jailed in a well. So he was lowered in the well. That was his jail. You stay there. So his students came to visit him. And the students were concerned about their lesson. What will happen to our lesson? So the teacher said, the lesson will continue at its time. I will lecture from the well, and all of you sit outside the well, around the well. Because we do not study the history of the ulama, we do not realize how much effort the ulama have put into preserving this deen as it is today. And we hear sentences such as, what are the ulama doing? What have the ulama done? If the ulama did not strive for deen, me and you may not have been Muslims today. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he left the Quran scattered. It was in the hearts of the Sahaba. As far as written form is concerned, it was scattered. One surah here, one ruku here, two surahs here, part of it written with you, part of it written with you. It was not in book form when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10,000 Sahaba had the Quran in their hearts. 10,000 Sahaba became Huffaz during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was written did not have zabar, it did not have zair, it did not have pesh, no tashdeed, no jazm. It would have been literally impossible for not the non-Arabs, even the Arabs, to read the Quran today. The Arabs would not have been able to read the Quran today. It was the effort of the ulama that they made it so easy for us to read the Quran. Imam Saraksi rahmatullah did not say that when I am released I will teach you. He said no. They had an unquenching thirst. The teacher had an unquenching thirst to pass on what he had acquired from his teachers. And the students had an unquenching thirst to take from the teacher whatever he had acquired from his teachers. And they would go to any length, any sacrifice they were prepared to give. A great muhaddith. He was a businessman and muhaddith. He travelled from one place to another, from one country to another, for business. But he made two intentions. In those days, the method of business was, I have £100,000, I have £5,000, I have £10,000, I will take that money with me, buy goods from that country, on trading caravan I will bring it back and sell it and make profit. So from one country to the other he went. So one intention was business, second intention was to learn from the ulama in that country. So, tijarat and talab-e-ilm, two intentions. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months he stayed and he acquired ilm from the ulama there. And now the time to return came. So, he hired camels. He gave deposit. He hired camels, deposit or money, whatever. He also bought goods with the money he had. And he is leaving tomorrow morning, and today he decided to perform his tahajjud salat with one of his very important teachers in that country. If I am able to perform just this last salat, tahajjud salat with my teacher, it would be a great honor for me. I want to perform tahajjud salat with him. It is time of barakah. And then him performing tahajjud with him, I stand behind him. He will make dua, I will make dua. I may see him do something from which I may learn. He was fortunate when the intention is sincere, Allah helps. So he was given the opportunity to perform tahajjud with his eminent teacher. And during the tahajjud salat, he saw his teacher do something, an amal, which he had never seen anybody else do, and regarding which he had never heard a hadith. So after the tahajjud salat, he said, oh my respected teacher, I saw you do something today during tahajjud salat which I have never seen anybody do before, and I have never come across a hadith in regard to this amal, but I am sure if you are doing it, you must have got a hadith. So please, I am going today, narrate this hadith to me before I leave. So for what reason only Allah knows? For what reason only Allah knows? The teacher said, Wallahi, la uhaddisannaka bihi sanatan. By Allah, I swear by Allah, I will not narrate this hadith to you for the coming 1 year. Now on one side he is travelling tomorrow, on the other side only one hadith. If he cancels the camels, he loses the money. If he sells the goods that he has bought, he will not recover the same money. So he can see nothing but loss from the monetary aspect. But ilm was so precious to these people, he cancelled his trip and he decided to stay in that country for one more year. One whole year, not 1 week, not 1 month, one whole year. And the adab was such, adab, respect for the teacher was such, that never throughout the year did he say to the teacher, Hazrat, what about that hadith? No. He remembered the date. And only after complete 1 year he said, Hazrat, we have completed the whole year. Can you please now narrate the hadith to me? And the teacher narrated the hadith, then only he returned to his country. If we entertain bad thoughts regarding the people of ill, and more than that, if we make negative remarks regarding the people of ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only deprive us of ilm and amal, but also our future generations. Ilm will not come into the house of that person who criticizes ulama. And those people who respect ulama, ilm will come in their home. Ilm will come in their home. So, Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Allama Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He is in the well. The students are asking, what about our lessons? There was zeal from both sides, teacher and the students. In this day and age, if the students were informed that your teacher has been jailed, give them benefit of doubt, there would be a mixture of grief and happiness. Benefit of doubt, that there will be grief also, but mixture of grief and happiness. That at least for the next few weeks, months, the lesson is gone. They said, what about our lesson? Imam Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala said, the lesson will continue same time. And I will lecture from there. Well, no library, nothing. They were library themselves. And daily he lectured. He was dictating from the well. And what his students wrote outside the well became the 15-20 volume Mabsut. You go to any darlum, you will find Mabsut in the library. This Imam Saraqsi rahimahullahu ta'ala, one night he suffered from diarrhea. He was studying and he suffered from diarrhea. And he had to go to relieve himself 17 times. You get dehydrated 17 times. And in those days, in order to relieve yourself, you have to go outside the locality, into the farms, into the jungle, and during the night. And it was a cold night. No geyser, no central heating. 17 times he went. When he returned, he continued his search for knowledge, his research. He did not feel that, oh, I'm suffering from diarrhea, I'm unwell, I want to go to sleep for a while. And every time he returned, he performed fresh wuzu with cold water. But he did not touch those papers with ilm without wuzu. So in madrasa we are, the students, they are taught to respect the books, they are taught to respect the teacher, they are taught to respect their own fellow students, because they are associated to ilm. They are not only your friends, they are associated, they are talibul ilm. We are also taught to respect the pen. Don't throw the pen like this, no. Because it is a means of acquiring ilm. We are taught to respect the papers. We encourage the students that even if they are studying alone on their own, they should not lean against the wall and study. The book should not lean upon them, they should lean upon the book. The book should not be upon them. The book should be down and they should lean upon the book. علامہ انور شاہ کشمیری رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, who I mentioned a few days ago in my Urdu talk, great scholar, علامہ انور شاہ کشمیری رحمہ اللہ تعالی, authority on hadith, authority on tafsir, authority on fiqh, authority on every science of ilm, ilm of deen, ilm of nubuwwat. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he would sit to study any book, normally the ulama sit on the floor when they study books, they lean on the book like this. And in the old Indian Pakistani prints, old Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, the books were written by scribes. They were handwritten, in Arabic handwritten. And handwritten, the hadith is in the middle and footnotes around it. So you have two pages here. So footnote at the top, footnote on the side, and footnote not only at the bottom, all three sides. And same with this page on three sides. And sometimes it is written in zigzag form. Sometimes it is written straight, sometimes it is in zigzag form, and sometimes, because he is a scribe, so he is writing, and if he cannot find place, he will find some place and he will write it the other way around. So you have to turn the book around like this to read the footnote. And if it's zigzag, then you have to turn the book like this, then turn the book like this, then turn the book like this, turn the book like this to read the footnote of the book. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, despite being a great alim, whenever he would sit down to study the book, the book would remain as it is. He would move all around the book. And he would say that the book should not be under me, that I should be under the book, because this is a means of ilm for me. So we need to learn to respect everything associated to ilm. If we do that, Allah will honor us with ilm and amal, and Allah will honor our children with ilm and amal, and our progeny with ilm and amal. So don't have these thoughts that what are these ulama doing, what are these madaris doing, what is the benefit of so many madaris. We never ask this question regarding universities, that what is the point of so many universities? What is the point of so many colleges? But when we talk about what is the point of so many madaris, so many darulums, if these darulums did not exist, we would not be able to listen to the glorious Quran in the month of Ramadan. We would not be able to find people to teach our children how to read the Quran. We would not be able to find people who would give ghusl to our dead bodies. We would not be able to find people who would lead our janaza salat. We would not be able to find people who would teach us how to perform tawaf and how to perform sa'i and how to perform hajj, how to give zakat. It is because of these madaris that we find muftis who are sitting there. You phone, they are at your service free service, free of charge. They will not even say to you that I don't take any money, but please donate something to the madrasa. No. You go to any madrasa, any darul ifta, no charge. This is the only institution, the institution of the ulama, that gives free service. You ask anybody masala, I want to know a masala, free. Advice, free. And you go with problems that are not associated to his profession. You go with family problem, they try to assist you. You go with a business problem, they try to assist you. You go with sickness and illness, they try to assist you. They don't say that this is not my profession. If you go to a dentist and say, I have got a headache, he says, you've come to the wrong place, sorry. He will not say that, I am not a doctor, but I know a doctor, and inshallah, this is what an alim will do. He said, oh, you are ill, I have a doctor who performs salat behind me, inshallah, I will make mashwara with you and then I will talk to you. We will try to find some solution for you, we will try to guide you. And he will contact that doctor. And he will try to guide this person. Because they are feeling for the Ummah. I myself get so many people who contact me and say that I can't make up my mind whether to have this operation or not. And the doctor has mentioned all the pros and cons and he has left it to me. So I say to him, okay, just give me 2-3 days. I know many doctors, inshallah, I will sit down with them, make mashwara with them, and then I will let you know what you need to do. And I have taken decisions on behalf of so many people. It's not my profession. It's not my job. It is because of these madaris that deen exists today. So madaris, ulama, talaba, have love for them. Show them kindness. If you are able to assist the madaris, assist financially, assist physically, assist spiritually with your dua. Every time you make dua, say, oh Allah, safeguard the madaris. Oh Allah, give progress to madaris. Oh Allah, fulfill all the needs of the madaris. This will go a long way. Your dua will go a long way. Oh Allah, safeguard the ulama. Oh Allah, safeguard the muftis. Oh Allah, increase them in their ilm. Increase them in their feeling for the ummah. Increase them in their sincerity. Because the more they progress, the more deen will flourish. The more they progress, the more we will progress. If you are attending a masjid where Maulana is the imam, if there is barakah in his ilm, you will progress more. If there is no barakah in his ilm, you will not progress. So making dua for your local imam is making dua for yourself, for your children. And if we come across one individual who has the label of an alim and he doesn't behave correctly with you, that one example does not necessarily mean that everybody is the same. But shaitan puts us off. What's the point of going to ulama? I have experienced. So if we go to one doctor and we have a bad experience, do we stop going to the doctors? If we go to a lawyer and we have a bad experience, do we stop going to the lawyers? There will always remain good, God-fearing ulama throughout the world until the day of Qiyamah. It is we who have to search for them and benefit from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding to value the knowledge of Nubuwwah, the knowledge of Deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to acquire this ilm as much as possible. And may Allah grant us the tawfiq to direct our children in that direction also. Before I conclude, let me tell you that I came to this country in 1973. From my village in India, I travelled all the way to the UK, and from Heathrow Airport to Leicester, I arrived in Leicester on the 21st of April 1973. And I spent my first night at Ahmad Bhai's place, Ahmad Bhai Kola's place. And Ahmad Bhai still resides in the same property. Now, 1973, I can remember only two people in the whole of Leicester who were studying in university. According to my knowledge, Ahmad Bhai Kola is the first university graduate in Leicester and probably in the East Midland area. Ahmad Bhai Kola, first university graduate. And I was bright when I was young, bright in madrasa, bright in school. In my classes, Gujarati classes in India, every time I was coming first in my class, in my maktab also. When I moved here again, same thing. Very quickly I learned the English language and I started coming first in this Mode Center, that is my school opposite. And I have studied a few subjects here in this premises as well, which belong to the church. And the school was renting from the church. So when people saw that I was bright, people were advising my father that Salim should go to college and Salim should go to university. Because the Muslim community needs graduates. And there was a lawyer from Lucknow, Tayyib Ali. Remember that? Tayyib Ali. Very bright lawyer, Tayyib Ali. He used to frequently come to my house. And he was very fond of me. So he would tell my father that Salim is mine. And he will become a barrister like me. He said, hand Salim over to me. Tell him to study in my guidance and I will make him a barrister like me. And my father's only answer was, I have reserved Salim for my hereafter. Every time anybody says anything about me, I have reserved Salim for my hereafter. He was very affectionate to me. He was very fond of me. So my father would always say, my Salim. So he said, my Salim, I have reserved him for my hereafter. And right from my tender young age, 4, 5, 6, he would ask me, Beta, my dear son, when you grow up, what are you going to become? And he had told me, because I didn't know what to become. I didn't know what Maulana was. I didn't know what Hafiz was. 4-year-old, 5-year-old. So he had told me, so I would say, Inshallah, I will become Hafiz and Maulana. And our small village, my father was all and sore in the masjid. It's a small village, remote place. So he was the imam. So when I grew up a little bit more, 6, 7 year old, then he would teach me to read from Fadail-e Amal, 1 page, 1.5 page. And he would make me sit after the Asr Salat in front of the congregation, 5, 7 people, and he would ask me to do the talim in Urdu. And then when walking home from the masjid, he would explain to me, he was very sweet in his talk. He would say that, Beta, today you read out to people what Allah and His Rasul is saying. But when you become Maulana, you will not read out, you will tell people what Allah and His Rasul is saying. So become a Maulana. Today you are reading out, you will tell people. Because everything will be in here, he used to say, everything will be in here. And I was also happily ready that Alhamdulillah, my father has chosen the right path for me. And as I grew up having lot of love for ulama, having lot of love for ilm, having lot of love for the people of deen. And I also wanted to take the same path. And I was very eager and I used to tell him that, when are you going to send me to Darul Uloom? When are you going to send me to Darul Uloom? And in those days, 1970s, when English was not spoken amongst the Muslim community, Gujarati was spoken, Punjabi was spoken, Bengali was spoken, and in those days people never thought a time is going to come when ulama will speak in English in the masajid. At that time, a man from a village, an old man, he said to me that, no, I'm going to send you to Darul Uloom, but go to school and learn English, because a time may come when you may have to explain deen in English. And finally, I ended up in Darul Uloom Bari, alhamdulillah. And I studied there. And while studying, whenever I used to come home, he would supervise me properly. Whenever I used to come first, I used to inform him, I used to show him my exam papers. He would sob out of happiness, cry out of happiness. And he would say to me, Beta, if I had sent you to university, in those days, university education was free. If I had sent you to university, I would not have had to pay fees. I am sending you to Darul Uloom, I am having to pay fees. So instead of free education, I have chosen to spend on you. If you had graduated from a university, your earning would have been much high. And I know what the public pays the ulama, because I am imam myself. So I am spending on you now, instead of giving you free education. And after you graduate, I am not expecting anything from you, because you will barely able to survive yourself. The wages my father was getting was meager. He started off with 13 or 14 pounds per week in Masjid-e-Noor. So he said, why am I doing this? He said, I'm doing this for my akhirat. I want you to become the means of my success in the hereafter. So study hard, work hard, and after you graduate, whether I live or not, you make a promise to me now that your full-time occupation will be the khidmat of deen and nothing else. So I used to say, Baji, my dear father, I am becoming an alim, I am studying, so inshallah I will do the khidmat. He said, no, you make a promise to me. You make a promise, I may not live. You make a promise to me that you are full-time. Because if you do not engage yourself in the service of deen, then I have lost both dunya and deen. I have sacrificed you as far as dunya is concerned. And if you don't do anything for deen, I will not get anything in the hereafter. He used to plead, and he used to make me sit in front of him, and he would say, make a promise to me. And once when I told him, while studying, that I have been invited from this country, and this country. I was in the third or the fourth year or the fifth year of my alim course when I was invited in Ramadan to perform Taraweeh and also to lecture in 3-4 countries. When I informed him, because I used to make mashwara with him, that I have been invited from here, and here, what do you suggest I do? He started weeping and crying. So, the separation was difficult for him, because he had a lot of love for me. So I thought, he's thinking that you stay 11 months away from me throughout the year because of madrasa, and even in Ramadan you want to go abroad. So I said, if it is your desire for me to stay in Leicester, I am happy to stay in Leicester. I'm not keen to go anywhere. But you are my guide, so I am just putting everything in front of you, everything, all the cards on the table, so you can guide me appropriately. So he said, no, I am not crying because of separation. He said, I am crying out of happiness. This is not crying of grief, happiness. And what was the happiness? He said, daily in tahajjud salat, After performing tahajjud salat, I put my forehead on the ground and I say, "Oh Allah, bring that day when people from the four corners of the world call my son to listen to him talk about you and your Rasul." I said, "I didn't know that Allah was going to accept my prayer so quickly. You are still a student and you are telling me that 3-4 countries are inviting you in the month of Ramadan." What am I trying to emphasize? I am trying to emphasize that the parents play a very big role in shaping the future of the children. My father's dua has shaped me. May Allah enlighten his grave. Whatever benefit you see today, it is the result of my father, my mother. And they deserve all the credit. If my father did not nurture me right from my childhood, if he did not motivate me to think in the right direction, I may have been elsewhere. But he set the goal for me, that there is only one thing you will do and it's this. And alhamdulillah, there is so much satisfaction. Alhamdulillah, until now, I have met dozens of people, hundreds of people, scores of people from all walks of life. Never have I seen anybody and I felt, I wish I was like him, except for the people of Deen. It is only when I see shuyukh and mashayikh, I feel, I wish I was like this sheikh. I wish I had ilm like him. I wish I had felt the deen as much as he has. Other than that, I have never felt that I wish I was in this path or I wish I was in this path. And I always feel that I was fortunate to have a father like mine. And he could not have done anything better for me. So love ilm, love the people of ilm, and have the desire that this ilm should come in your house. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the completion of this masjid, when the builder handed over the keys to me, I said to the shura that the first thing I want to do is to bring my respected mother. She should come in the masjid and she should be the first one to perform 2 rakat. So I sent my older brother, Hafiz Ahmed Ali, and he brought my mother in the car. She performed 2 rakat here. And I thought, she will be very happy to see the atrium. So I took her in the atrium with the arches and the beautiful sign. I said, "Mom, come, I will show you something." When she finished with the masjid, I said, "Come, I'll show you something." So she had her niqab on because other men were here also. So I couldn't see what was happening inside. So when I took her to the atrium, and it was only me and her, and I started talking to her that this is the first floor, this is the second floor, classrooms. So whilst talking, I realized that she was weeping and crying. So I said, "Why are you crying?" So she said, "I am crying because when you were very young, you were born. And you were sleeping at night between me and your father in Bhoria. Your father was awake, I was awake. And your father said to me, 'Maryam, make dua for this young child that Allah takes great work of deen from him.'" And he said, "I am crying after seeing this construction because I am remembering your father's words when you were only a few weeks old." Parents. Salasu da'awatin mustajabatun la shakka fihin. There are 3 prayers which never go unheard. Never go unheard. We don't do anything for our children and then we complain. Make dua for your children. Make dua. Oh Allah. Allah will accept. Oh Allah, accept my children for your deen. Oh Allah, make them ulama, make them muhaddisin, make them mufassir. And my father used to show so much respect to ilm and the people of ilm. I have seen his days of poverty when he was somehow sustaining himself and we, the young siblings, the children, he was in debt, he had come from India. But even then, if he came across any alim, he would even present 10 pence or 20 pence as gift to him, honoring him for his ilm. He would try to bring ulama to home. Please come and have a cup of tea. Stay at my house, spend a night at my house. And the shuyukh like Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, they stayed at my residence at 160 Melbourne Road. And my father would say, Hazrat, make dua for my children. And one by one he would sit us in front of the Shaykh and he would say, Hazrat, put your hands on his head and make dua for him. Please make dua for him. So make intention, inshallah, that we will direct our children towards the ilm.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, you will not regret, neither in this world nor the hereafter. At least one. You will not regret, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.